Wired Jesus Podcast, March 29th, 2009. Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings. Postmodern Book.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and I'm glad you've come along for our journey together. Music is a part of my wiring. Like I mentioned back in Podcast 21, the soundtracks of life, music is one of my creative triggers. I do all my creative writing with music in the background, and certain songs will vividly bring back memories of the past. And my iPod is a near constant companion. I remember once being asked if I'm afraid of silence, and I don't believe so. But if that is the case, most of us born since the 1960s are. I mean, music has always been in the background of everything, from car radios to Walkman cassette players to iPods today. And, you know, I was oddly sad to see that the Muzak Corporation declared bankruptcy last month, that the phenomenon of elevator music that I grew up with in the 70s and 80s is now over, and no more will I hear Stairway to Heaven played on an organ in the style of a Sinatra song in a doctor's waiting office. Kind of scary, really, but a little wistful at the moment at its disappearance. You know, I guess music is not really entertainment, at least not anymore. You know, there was a time a century ago when the only time you heard great musical performances, or any musical performance for that matter, is if you could go to a concert hall in a big city. Otherwise, you really only had your local music scene. You know, dance hall groups and the local tavern and, of course, the church. A piano or a pump organ, you know, that was the one place where people would gather to sing songs connected with life and soul and spirit. Music and poetry blended together really in all those places to bring hope, to share in sorrows, to create joy, and speak to the human heart. But something happened along the way. As technology brought music into the home, where the sound could be saved and replayed, the church somehow diverged from the music scene. It may be that Christians have had a history of being technophobes. I mean, there is the stream of thought that the church is about preserving the true faith and the message of Jesus in its purity, and what we used to do is somehow always better than what we're doing now. I mean, after all, the popular pastime in the Middle Ages of burning heretics at the stake for translating the Bible from Latin into local languages wasn't unusual, you know, somehow as if contact with the common people would somehow dishonor both Jesus and the Bible. Martin Luther was the first to get away with it, only because of technology. Too many printing presses in Europe let the genie out of the bottle, but then also ultimately split the church. But Luther did something else. He freed church music for his day. Before, people just kind of sat and listened to, or actually stood and listened to, church choirs and cantors sing. But Luther's thought was, if people should be able to read the Bible, then they should also be able to sing and worship too. So the classical chants of the past now had to share space with new songs. Bible passages set to bar songs, new poetry accompanied by lute and organ. Luther started the ball rolling on that. It was very radical for its day and considered to be nearly as bad as a readable Bible. Now, as I look around the Christian music scene today, it seems a lot like the time before Luther. In older established churches and congregation, it seems to be the whole preserving tradition thing, which means we don't hardly sing anything written after 1900, and we stick to piano and pipe organ because we believe that's what people want. Never mind the fact that you can't find a single all-organ station on radio stations or on Sirius. Just because you don't hear organ music outside the funeral homes and churches anymore doesn't mean anything to the preservers of the tradition. We're sure it's what Jesus would want, even though pipe organs were invented long after Jesus had died and rose from the dead. And so many churches seem to get stuck with something like this.
So John Baker's here, Bob Spencer, Michelle Casey, and I all go to First United Methodist Church. So John is going to sing a song that's very popular nowadays, and it's Christ the Lord is Risen Today, and he's going to do Amora too, okay?
Lord is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Your voice in triumph's high, hallelujah. Your eye like a big pizza pie that's amore. What? Amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-ling.
Pretty awful. And unfortunately, still far too common. But on the other hand, you have a more modern version of the same thing that was born out of the 1980s, the whole Christian music scene. The thought was to take modern sounds and instruments and do Christian lyrics. Great idea. It's what the church had been about. But, boy, the execution faltered at times, gaining the Christian music scene the reputation of second-rate musicians singing third-rate lyrics. You know, some very popular songs came out of the praise and worship movement and quickly moved right into churches in a way that would make Luther proud. Suddenly, new churches had drums and guitars and new songs that were like what people listened to on the radio and at home, and it fit worship. It was great. But that seems to have gotten constipated. You know, I remember one of the first bands I worked with in churches that I pastored, and after a while, it seemed increasingly hard to find something new. And the people who were singing along, oh my goodness, Awesome God was now as sacred and as tedious as What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I mean, if you look at Time Life, they have about 5 different Christian music CD sets that have the same core 25 songs that were all written 25 or more years ago. And so you ended up with stuff that sounded like this.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat.
Okay, maybe I exaggerate a little bit on that one. I found this on YouTube, and it was just this, you know, kind of Osmond Christian wannabe group. But, you know, what can I say? The whole contemporary music scene in churches seems kind of stagnant. And frankly, I'm bored with the whole thing. You know, I look back to Luther. I look back to the church in the Renaissance. And you discover that the church was the home of the most creative music and the most creative art. I mean, you can hardly imagine such an attitude in most of the churches you walk into today. But think of it. Renaissance churches were filled with statues by Da Vinci and Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. The birth of cantatas was in the church. You might call those the church version of the concept album. Stained glass, which Bono described as the first movie, stories told in color, projected with light. All of it, part of worship. I mean, only the best artists and the best musicians needed to apply. And they were constantly being commissioned by patrons to produce something new to the glory of God in worship. You know, it's a far cry from today where, you know, frankly, far too many churches haven't changed their paint scheme and colors in their buildings since 1960s olive drab green, and who still venerate Grandma's hand-painted velvet Last Supper hanging in the fellowship hall and won't sing anything written after the Great Depression. Or, of course, you have its Christian contemporary version that you sing nothing before Rich Mullins or since Michael W. Smith. So, where do you find some life, some excitement in Christian music? Well, same place you go when you get fed up with the stale pop music scene, alternative music. You know, I'm lucky here in Findlay, Ohio, that the University of Findlay, I got to put in props to the University of Findlay Oilers, they won yesterday the NCAA Division II Men's Basketball Championship. Go Oilers! But the university has its own alternative music radio station that's as good as anything I listen to in Chicago, here in, you know, northwestern Ohio. But when it comes right down to it, most alternative stations are low-power FM signals that in metro areas or university towns. So your better option, really, are podcasts and streaming radio. And the same is true for alternative Christian tunes. You won't hear alternative stuff much on the monolithic K-Love clones or on the Bill Gaither country-style gospel stations. You have to go to the net for the good stuff. And the best I've found comes straight out of old Chicago, the Bored Again Christian Podcast. The host, Just Pete, has put together what has been called the top-rated Christian music podcast on iTunes. And when you hear it, you know, you'll wonder why some of these groups haven't seen the light of day on Christian radio or in worship. I mean, if you have an alternative contemporary worship service in your local congregation, you should have your worship team tune in. And you'll listen to the likes of Galea and the Ghost Train. Wild Sweet Orange. Hold Steady. Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm discouraged. The new realms of shadow of light. Lord, I'm discouraged. She comes. this stuff isn't K-Love, Eric Cartman, Christian pop like you saw on South Park with Faith Plus One.
All right, guys, this is going to be so easy. All we have to do to make Christian songs is take regular old songs and add Jesus stuff to them. See, all we have to do is cross out words like baby and darling and replace them with Jesus.
K-Tel Records presents the most inspirational Christian rock band in the world, Faith Plus One, featuring the very best in good, wholesome Christian music.
Oh, Lord, you are my savior. You know I miss you so much when you are gone.
With great inspirational songs like I Wasn't Born Again Yesterday.
Yes, I may be born again, but I wasn't born again yesterday.
The CD is filled with instant classics. Who doesn't remember?
The body of Christ, sleek, swim his body all mustard up and tone. Body of Christ, oh, what a body, I wish I could call it my own. You one time, two times, three times my savior.
This album is not available in stores, and limited quantities are available, so order now.
This is music to listen to at home on your iPod and to use in intentionally creative worship services. You know, Christian music for people who don't like Christian music is really an apt description for the born-again Christian. Now, over the years, you know, I've used secular music in worship services because, you know, frankly, they made more spiritual sense than singing in the garden for the umpteenth time. I most recently played a clip of Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love as a take on Jesus' famous saying from John 3:16, you know, the one you see at the football games and basketball games. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Meatloaf and John 3:16. Now, take my word for it. It worked. But so does much else. You know, Johnny Cash's cover of Hurt for Lent, or Bob Marley's redemption song around Easter time. You could probably use half the songs from U2, the U2 Eucharist that I did back in Chicago, but there's so much more. You know, Bruce Springsteen's Human Touch, used it for a healing service. I've used them all, and I would argue that they have as much a place today in worship as they do on radio. And the cool thing about the born-again Christian is that the music is good. And it follows the musical variation of what Christian writer C.S. Lewis said. We do not need more people writing Christian books. What we need is more Christians writing good books. And the same is true with music. And I think born-again Christian sets the standard for that. So, if you're a Wired Jesus listener who really isn't into the whole church thing, you know, I'd say, you know, check out Born Again Christian for some good tunes by folks who are more into Jesus than organ music. If you're a Christian, I'd say check it out for the same reason. But also with an ear to hear if you can bring some fresh music into your worship. You know, turn on some of your worship leaders to the podcast. And if you're one of those pastor people who listen in, and I know who you are, well, all of what I said already. There's a whole new world and a new song out there that needs to be included in the life of the church. And one place you can begin to explore it is at the Born Again Christian. So, good job, Just Pete. Keep it up, and let's hear that new song again. Well, there it is, Wired Jesus Podcast number 47, so I'm closing in on show number 50. And as if you've been a regular listener since the outset 3 years ago, you know it's been slow going the past year. But I'll keep plugging along, and I'll try and, you know, get a podcast out at least once a month. And hopefully going into the summer, we can get a few more into the bin and pump them out a little quicker. But as always, keep the emails and suggestions coming. I appreciate those from since last podcast, and I'll add them to the bin for scripts for coming podcasts. Now, on a side note, since we are talking about music, a big welcome back to podcasting to my friend Mark Allender at Bode Radio. If you're into string music, violins, cellos, and such, and experimental sounds. You have got to check out Bode Radio Podcast. This is good music. Just click on the web link on the Wired Jesus blog page, and then let Mark know you heard about him on Wired Jesus. So, Mark, good to have you back, too, and keep the good shows coming. So, once again, to all of you, thanks for all the encouragement for tuning in to Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee. Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.